When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want. And reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.
2026 FIFA World Cup is now less than a year away. With the CONCACAF Gold Cup ready to start, the United States men's national team is absolutely horrible. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Into the Net FC. My name is Alex Alcazaz, and I'm also known as the Bear of Texas. And part of me believes that I shouldn't be surprised that the United States men's national team is not very, very good. Many now are starting to regret that the Federation fired Greg Berhalter and hired Mauricio Pochettino as the manager. I don't quite fully recall my reaction to the hiring of Mauricio Pochettino, but there's no doubt in my mind that I consider it to be a positive move. Well, honestly, while I was not fully in support of it, I said, okay, look, it's not the worst hiring ever. Maybe, just maybe, it can work out. So far, it is not working out. Should we give it a little bit of time? Maybe. But right now, based on how terrible this United States men's national team is, they are not ready for the World Cup. Now, they still have a year. Well, technically less than a year because, you know, it's less than 365 days now, but still. You have about a year to get ready. And right now, I am probably the stupidest idiot for saying this. But if the United States men's national team has a horrible, and I mean an absolutely horrible campaign in the CONCACAF Gold Cup, then you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. Mauricio Pochettino needs to be fired. If this United States men's national team does not do good in the Gold Cup, Mauricio Pochettino has to be fired. But which now begs the question, if that were to happen, who takes over as manager for the United States men's national team? Well, that is a good question, and to be honest with you, I don't have the answer. I'm sure there's definitely a list of candidates out there. Of course, Jurgen Klopp would be considered it, but Jurgen Klopp, I'm sure, has zero interest in taking over as manager of the United States men's national team. As a matter of fact, if Pochettino were to be sacked, and if Jurgen Klopp actually was hired as manager of the United States men's national team, well, I would be absolutely shocked. Look, it'd be cool, but would it work out? I don't know. Look, Pochettino is a good manager overall. Now, I'm sure I've spoken about this when I was talking about his hiring on this show. To go from managing clubs to managing the international team is not, it's not easy. I mean, it's not easy to manage a club than it is to manage a national team. Both are very, very difficult tasks. There's no doubt about that. It's just, while they're both difficult, it's not the same. It requires a different mindset, different plan strategies and all that. Basically, in a nutshell, managing a top European club is not the same as managing an international team, whether it's the United States, whether it's Argentina, whether it's England, France, Italy, Germany, Brazil, Uruguay, etc. The bottom line is, managing a club is not the same as managing a national team. The United States men's national team is currently, I believe, on a 4-game losing streak. Now, the United States just wrapped up two international friendlies that are warm-ups to the CONCACAF Gold Cup, which, of course, starts this week. This Sunday on Father's Day, the United States will play their first Gold Cup group stage game against Trinidad and Tobago in San Jose. And yes, I was right. The United States is currently on a four-game losing streak. When they lost to Panama in the semifinals of the CONCACAF Nations League, then they lost to Canada in third place, and then they lost these two friendly exhibition games, losing 2-1 to Turkey in Connecticut, and then losing 4-0 to Switzerland in Nashville, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, my good friend, Mr. Uncle Mad, was actually at the game in Tennessee, and he actually released a video of it on his channel, and Uncle Mad had a horrible, horrible experience. Not only because of how horrible the game went, but unfortunately, his experience overall, you know, with the concessions and whatnot. I mean, I watched the video. I mean, Uncle Mad makes, you know, very, very good videos. I've learned so much from him as far as making vlogging type videos. I really need to take it up to the next level. I need a vlogging camera really, really bad. But Uncle Mad made his thoughts very, very clear. I mean, he said in the video that making sports videos and rants, that's not his style. Well, I don't know if I should say it's not his style. That's just not exactly what he does. Now, he does do sports sessions. I've seen him do, and he does a great job at it. And I can tell that the way he incorporates his speaking, his thoughts, his knowledge and passion, I can tell that he's basically used a similar strategy than me. So basically, Uncle Matt, who's been watching my work, he has utilized it into his work. So I guess what I'm trying to say is I've noticed that Uncle Matt has learned from me just like I've learned from him, which is a blessing. You know, he gave us a little history lesson how, you know, there was a time when the United States couldn't even qualify for the World Cup. I mean, I think they went from 1954. If I'm correct, there was a drought that went from 1954 to 1990. And then, of course, in 1990, and then for a long time, the United States would qualify for the World Cup. In 2018, they failed to qualify, which was horribly embarrassing. As a matter of fact, that loss to Trinidad and Tobago was actually the reason why they didn't qualify. And funny enough, the United States is about to play Trinidad and Tobago in the first game of the group stage. And I hope I'm saying it correctly. I don't know. I always forget, is it Tobago, Tobago? So I apologize. So, you know, and this whole episode is basically what's the latest. Originally, I just wanted to talk specifically about the United States men's national team, but there's other talking points that I need to go over. But I want to finish the United States first. But, and the way they lost to Switzerland, now, from what I understand, well, from what I heard on the radio, I never looked at the lineups. I never really looked at everything because it was just so frustrating and embarrassing that, you know, I said, no matter how many talking points I have, the bottom line is the United States got destroyed at home in an embarrassing fashion. Now, some would say, well, yeah, they lost to a European team. Okay, we've seen the United States beat European teams, or at least put up a positive result. So, I don't want to... Some are saying, yeah, that it was the backups, it was not the starters. I mean, now, the big story as of late is the fact that Christian Pulisic is not on the squad, and he's not going to be representing the United States in the Gold Cup. Personally, I agree with that decision, believe it or not. Why? Because obviously Pulisic needs to rest. You know, the United States is going to need him next year for the FIFA World Cup. And as we know, when it comes to Christian Pulisic, his health is always a huge cause for concern. So we need him to be fully healthy by the time the World Cup starts next summer. Now, Pulisic is not the only player that was not selected. I think Weston McKennie was another one, but a lot of people are upset about it, very, very upset about it. Look, in my case, again, even when Pulisic was on the team for the Nations League, especially in the semifinals in the third-place match, the United States was not very, very good. Now, unfortunately, AC Milan is coming off a horrible year. I mean, as a matter of fact, I don't even think AC Milan is competing in European football next year. They're not in the Champions League. I don't even think they're in the Europa League. So, let me take a look. I was thinking about Christian Pulisic. So AC Milan, they finished in eighth. So yeah, so that means no Champions League, no Europa League, and no Europa Conference League either. No European football for AC Milan. That right there is horrible. And I mean horrible. It's embarrassing too. It's embarrassing too. I mean, just 2 years ago, AC Milan were one of the best teams in Europe, and they have regressed dramatically. It's very unfortunate indeed. Now, so far, I'm seeing the upcoming schedule for the United States men's national team. Obviously, we only see the three games in the group stage because, well, again, we don't know if they're going to make it to the knockout stage. Now, in September, the United States will play two friendly exhibitions against South Korea and against Japan. They'll play against South Korea in New Jersey, and they'll play Japan in Columbus, Ohio. So, there's a lot right now going on. And the team is just not good at all, and it's embarrassing, so, man. So, going back to Pochettino, I mean, I think right now his record is 5 wins and 5 losses. It's not going good at all. It really isn't. And the fact that I called myself possibly being an idiot for saying this about Pochettino probably getting sacked, I mean, could the United States really do that? Could the Federation really do that? I mean, when Greg Berhalter was fired, I thought that was actually the right move, but now I'm really having second thoughts. Now, in the Copa America last summer, the United States got embarrassed at home. Looking back at the games right now, I mean, I think, you know, it started off with a 2-1 loss to Panama, which was in Atlanta, and then that 1-0 loss to Uruguay. Now, there was that win against Bolivia in Arlington, which is not too far from me. The United States, you know, started off with a win and then lost this 2 straight games and then got knocked out, and then that was it. So, yeah, I think, you know, I'm having second thoughts, but would have been good to keep Greg Berhalter, or, you know, was it right to fire Berhalter, but it was just not right to hire Mauricio Pochettino? I mean, when Mauricio Pochettino was hired, I mean, I'll admit I was excited. I thought this could work out. I didn't say it was going to work out. I said it could work out. So I was being optimistic. I was being highly optimistic about the situation. And sometimes for me, it could be very, very difficult for me to be optimistic, but, you know, I'm trying to keep things positive. I really am. So right now, yeah, indeed, I am having second thoughts about the hiring of Mauricio Pochettino. And I said this already, but if the United States were to go, okay, if they failed to make it out of the group stage in the Gold Cup, I would say it's very, very logical to fire Mauricio Pochettino. But if that's the case, the United States better have a list of candidates to interview and eventually hire. So for those of you, if you're listening on Spotify or if you're watching me on YouTube, let me know in the comments, number one, if the United States gets embarrassed in the Gold Cup, should Mauricio Pochettino be fired? Why or why not? And if you think he should be fired, tell me also who should be considered to take over for the job. My friend Uncle Matt actually talked about the possibility of Pochettino being fired, and he believes that the man to take over would probably be the current manager of Nashville, SC. I mean, Uncle Matt could be right for all I know, but as far as I'm concerned, I'd like for everybody to actually leave me several potential candidates for the job. And why? If the United States has a horrible campaign in the Gold Cup, should Pochettino be fired? Why or why not? And also, if you think that the move was a bad move from the beginning, please let me know also in the comments. And also, again, let me know who you think should take over as manager or who should be considered. Again, I don't know any names off the top of my head. Again, I talk about Jurgen Klopp, but Jurgen Klopp managing the United States men's national team, that is merely a pipe dream. Could they really go with a coach in the MLS? I mean, could they really go with a coach for Nashville SC? I mean, Nashville SC is actually not doing too good at the moment. You know, as a matter of fact, I know that on this program, I promise to try to start covering the MLS. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I cannot get fully invested. I can't even get invested into the MLS. Part of me says I can't get fully invested in it. I mean, I can barely get myself invested in it. I just can't. I mean, I'm no longer able to cover those FC Dallas games like I was at the beginning because I went back to getting a full-time day job. So it would interfere with that. But, you know, I had to do what I had to do. But, I mean, Nashville SC is, they're not doing too bad. I mean, they're 8 wins, 5 draws, and 4 losses. So I don't know where I got the idea of them going pretty bad. I mean, I don't recall Uncle Mad mentioning anything about Nashville SC being bad. I mean, they're in fourth place. I mean, they're tied with Inter Miami right now. So, I mean, they're only 1 point. they're only 1 point behind Cincinnati, who's in second place in the Eastern Conference, and they're about 5 points from first place Philadelphia. So I think that's probably why. So I don't recall Uncle Mad mentioning. I mean, I just remember him saying he'll never give up on Nashville SC. I mean, no matter how bad Nashville SC is, Uncle Mad is always going to love them. Same thing with Manchester United. You know what? Nothing but love for Uncle Mad. But I could have sworn that Uncle Mad mentioned in his recent video that he believes that the manager for Nashville SC would be suitable for the job as manager of the United States men's national team. I mean, as far as I know, if that's the case, then okay, fine. But I would hope that the United States would, in fact, do their homework and interview candidates extensively. You got to keep in mind, sometimes you can't wait forever to make a decision. You got to make a decision quickly. But while you have to make a quick decision, you still don't want to rush it. So if Pochettino gets fired, well, if he should be fired, then the reason is obvious that it's not working out. So that's why I asked everybody to also leave a reason if you believe that the hiring was bad from the beginning. I mean, again, I'm always curious to know what you loyal listeners have to say. But if Pochettino were to be fired, if the United States was embarrassed in the Gold Cup, like if the United States went 0-3 in the group stage in the Gold Cup group stage, yeah, it's a no-brainer. Fire Pochettino. The reason why is because it's not working out. But again, the reason I'm curious to know from everybody, I would like everybody to explain as to why it didn't seem to be a good move from the beginning, or why Pochettino was never really fit for this particular position. So again, let me know. But so the United States, again, they play Trinidad and Tobago in the first game in San Jose, California, and then on June 19th they'll play Saudi Arabia in Austin. And they'll play Haiti in Arlington. So now we'll have to wait and see how things go. But I'm saying it right now. If the United States fails to make it past the group stage in the Gold Cup, Pochettino needs to be fired immediately. Immediately. So after this, so in September 6th, they'll play a friendly against South Korea. So if they were to fire Pochettino immediately after the Gold Cup, well, they'd have plenty of time to get the manager. They have time to interview the candidates, pick a candidate, bring him in, and let him start preparing the team. And obviously, the first order of business would be these upcoming exhibitions in September against South Korea and against Japan. But until then, we'll have to wait and see. But for right now, we'll have to see how things go in the Gold Cup. But I have a feeling that the United States is going to crap the bed big time. Because the United States men's national team is absolutely, absolutely terrible. And Uncle Mad blames this on the coaching, and I agree with him. I agree with him. There's a lack of leadership, there's a lack of motivation, there's a lack of chemistry, there's a lack of a winning mentality. I mean, for so long, the United States men's national team went into obscurity. And Uncle Matt himself fears that the United States could really be headed to obscurity once again. That would not be good at all. Okay, so now we wrap up the talk about the United States men's national team. So these other talking points, this is why this episode was what's the latest in association football. Well, first thing of order is the fact that as of 2 days ago, so now we're 363 days away from the 2026 FIFA World Cup, because as I'm recording on this wonderful Thursday evening, it's June 12th, 2025. So that was one talking point. And right now, Mexico and Canada look absolutely good. I mean, Mexico's starting to become better and better and better. I'll never forget, for the 2022 World Cup, in that qualifying phase, when Alexi Lalas had said that during the qualifiers, this was the worst Mexican team that he had ever seen. Mexico has really, really gotten better, and so has Canada. I mean, the United States Federation, the Football Federation, they are going to regret forever not hiring Jesse Marsh, who is now managing Canada. Man, and Jesse Marsh, for the record, he wanted the job. He wanted to manage the United States men's national team, but the Federation said, nope, we will go with somebody else. Marsh should be managing the United States men's national team as we speak. He wanted the job, but he was denied. And he took another job elsewhere, and he's doing a fantastic job. So I'm very, very happy for Jesse Marsh. which is why Canada is going to be one of the teams that I'm personally rooting for in the World Cup. Obviously, France is going to be number one. Obviously, the United States, number two. Both my countries, but Canada is also there as well. As a matter of fact, here's actually something I should talk about as far as what's the latest. Two countries that have actually qualified for the World Cup for the first time. Uzbekistan qualified, and Jordan qualified. I mean, how about that? How about that? You know, you see, because this World Cup is the first one with 48 competitors, so you're definitely going to see some particular newcomers, and so far there's two of them, Jordan and Uzbekistan. You know, it's funny. As soon as I saw that Uzbekistan qualified, there's one thing that came into my mind. For those of you that have seen Borat, if you've seen the movie Borat, and then you mentioned Uzbekistan, well, if you know, you know. So obviously Borat wouldn't be too particularly happy about Uzbekistan qualifying for the World Cup. But right now, so far, I think Ecuador was the latest team to officially qualify. So I think Ecuador's in. So as a matter of fact, let's take a look at the so far of all the teams that have qualified. So we're going to give an update on that. Obviously, we know the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, I mean, they've been in since the beginning because they're the hosts. The hosts automatically qualify. But here's who have qualified already. Iran, Australia, Japan, South Korea, Jordan, and Uzbekistan, and that's from Asia. In CONCACAF, obviously, Canada, Mexico, and the United States are already in. In CONMEBOL, in South America, Argentina, Brazil, and Ecuador. I think Chile actually is officially out of contention. So Chile is out. They haven't qualified. And of course, in Oceania, New Zealand has qualified. Well, and here's a little, let's do a little bit of an update as far as the qualifiers go, especially from certain positions. So, looking at Group A, you know, the third round. So, right now, the United States, the United Arab Emirates, and Qatar are basically, I think, going to the next round, to the fourth round. While Kyrgyzstan and North Korea are very likely about to be out of competition. Kuwait is out of contention. So is Palestine, China, and Bahrain are very likely both out. So right now, as far as the third round of the Asian qualifiers, the United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Iraq, Oman, Saudi Arabia, and Indonesia are set to advance to the fourth round. It would certainly be interesting to see Iraq qualify. Iraq actually has not qualified for the World Cup since 1986. That was the only time they've been in. Indonesia has never qualified, so it would actually be interesting if the UAE, Iraq, and Indonesia, all three of them actually qualified, and then that would mean that Saudi Arabia doesn't qualify, Oman doesn't qualify, and Qatar doesn't qualify. Again, we definitely want to see some more new faces, so it'd be interesting if Indonesia qualified. Now, right now, for the African qualification format in Group A, and this is the first round. Right now, Egypt, I think, is very, very close to qualifying in Group A because they're 5 points ahead of Burkina Faso. So Burkina Faso could advance to the second round. The DR Congo looks like they're actually about to qualify. I believe DR Congo actually qualified before, but I believe the last time they qualified, obviously his name was Zaire. At least I think I'm saying it correctly, Zaire. Unless I'm getting it mixed up with the other Congo. Let me double check. And again, I apologize. I really don't want to offend anybody. Yes. Nope. Actually, yes, they qualified in 1974. It was Zaire. So I was correct. So yeah, they qualified. The only time they qualified was in 1974. They lost all three games and, man, scored 0 goals and conceded 14 goals. They were banned in 1986. I'm not sure why. I would imagine it was political reasons. And they have not qualified. You know, they have not qualified at all. So DR Congo looks right now. They look like they're about to qualify. So I don't know exactly what the status is now. They're 1 point ahead of second place Senegal, and Senegal, right, if they were in right now, Senegal would just advance to the second round of qualification. South Africa looks like they're about to qualify, and Rwanda could be headed to the second round. It's not looking good for Nigeria. So, and you know, like, you know, Cape Verde looks like they're about to qualify. Morocco, I think Morocco's in a good position, so Morocco could very well qualify. The Ivory Coast is very, very close. They're only 1 point ahead. Algeria looks to be set. They're 3 points ahead. Tunisia is 4 points ahead, so Tunisia looks to be set as well. And Ghana also looks to be set as well. So, man, looking good right here. So that's Africa. Now we look going back to the CONCACAF, and this is the CONCACAF third round. In Group A, well, right now, that group has been set, so Group A is Panama, El Salvador, Guatemala, and Suriname. In Group B, you have Jamaica, Curaçao, which I hope I'm saying it correctly, Trinidad and Tobago, and Bermuda. And then in Group C, you have Costa Rica, Honduras, Haiti, and Nicaragua. You know, I really hope El Salvador actually qualifies. El Salvador has actually been in the World Cup before. I believe the last time El Salvador was in the World Cup, I believe, was 1978. I know El Salvador has been in the World Cup twice, but it's been a very, very long time since we've seen them. So first time was in 1970. And the last time they were in was in 1982. And El Salvador has never won a game in the World Cup. So if they qualify, they obviously want to... They always want to change it, but right now, they haven't played any of the games yet. But right now, in the third round of CONCACAF, second place goes to the Inter-Confederation Playoffs, while first place automatically qualifies. So El Salvador is looking to actually pull it off. That would actually be nice if El Salvador did. Excuse me. So that's pretty much it. Now, the European qualification has already started, but you know, with the whole Nations League thing, well, most of these teams, you know, they haven't really started yet, but. Finland is currently on top of Group G. They're 1 point ahead of the Netherlands. Poland is actually not doing good so far. And as a matter of fact, Poland, their head coach just resigned. I saw that on a TV at my work. It was one of the headlines that the head coach resigned. And it said that Robert Lewandowski said that he has no intention of playing as long as that manager is in charge. So, and because Poland is in third place right now, they're tied with the Netherlands. Poland is not in a good position. So they need Robert Lewandowski to be there. So in order for him to be there, the coach resigned. I mean, he resigned. So I'm not sure if he was asked to or if he was forced to. I mean, I don't know. But anyway, yeah, it is what it is. So that's Group G. In Group H, Bosnia and Herzegovina is on top. Austria is in second. So of course, in European, you advance to the second round. This is the first stage. So again, there's a bit of differences. So. Norway is actually on top of Group I, and Israel's in second place, and Italy's in third place. I mean, Italy is just off to a horrible start in the qualifiers. I mean, Italy lost that game to Norway, and they fired their manager. I mean, Italy has failed to qualify for the last two World Cups. They cannot make it three in a row. That would be horrible. Not only horrible for the Italian Football Federation, it would be horrible for the country. Yeah. The fact is, last time, they failed to qualify for the 2022 FIFA World Cup as the defending European champions. That was horrible enough for Italy. And I mean horrible. So Italy's in third place, and they are 9 points behind first place Norway. Norway has not qualified. I don't even know the last time Norway qualified for the World Cup. I think it was 1998. Yes, Norway was in the World Cup, was in 1998. So, Norway is hoping to make it this time. Group J, North Macedonia is on top, is in second place. Belgium's not off to a good start. England's obviously, after three games, they're undefeated, so England's going to easily beat this team. Albania's in second place, and Serbia is in third, and then you have Latvia and Andorra. And in Group L, you have the Czech Republic, Croatia, Montenegro, the Faroe Islands, and Gibraltar. Well, the Czech Republic, it's been a long time. I mean, when's the last time they qualified for the World Cup? According to this, the last time the Czech Republic was in the World Cup was in 2006. Oh yeah, if I remember correctly, they destroyed the United States in the opening game. I think they beat the United States 5-1. Now, the Czech Republic, I mean, they've had some better luck in the Euros, but the World Cup, they have not been there since 2006. So after four games, they're up by 9 points. So far, things start. Seem to be going very, very well at all. Very well, very, very well indeed for the Czech Republic. So as far as I'm concerned, I mean, as far as these new faces go, I mean, North Macedonia is on top of their group, but they're only up by 1 point. But, you know, anything could change. But as far as new faces from Europe, I mean, right now, the way things are going, I don't see who it could be, but We could just see it. Well, it could be Finland. I mean, Finland has never qualified for the World Cup, and Finland is on top, so Finland could very well be the European newcomer for the World Cup, along with North Macedonia. We'll wait and see. So that wraps up qualifications. Now, again, I wasn't planning on talking about the qualification phase in this one, but then I mentioned about the debut of Jordan and Uzbekistan. I felt like I should probably go into detail, so I'm glad I did. I'm really glad I did. All right. So, talk about the USA, talk about the World Cup being a year away, talk about these newcomers and an update in the qualifying phase around the world. Well, now we got to talk about some particular signings as of late, but before I get into that, Fabrizio Romano announced that Trent Alexander-Arnold will wear the number 12 at Real Madrid. Oh, that's Marcelo's number, if I'm correct. Marcelo at Real Madrid actually wore number 12. So it's an honor, definitely an honor. Yeah, Marcelo, of course, did wear number 12. So Trent Alexander-Arnold has some big shoes to fill to wear the number 12. I mean, when you're a young player and you go to the best club in Europe, Real Madrid is still technically the best club in Europe. I mean, not at the moment because PSG are the champions, but Real Madrid are the 15-time champions. So, well, that makes them the most successful club, but maybe not the best at the moment. So let me rephrase that. Real Madrid, when you go to the most successful club in Europe and you wear the number that a legend wore, you have some big, big shoes to fill. I mean, right now, I think there's talk about Kylian Mbappe changing his number because Luka Modric is on his way out. I think Luka Modric, as far as the move to AC Milan goes, well, first of all, I find it interesting because AC Milan is not playing in European football. But I think in Luka Modric's case, I think him not playing in European football, it might be, well, if he's willing to go to AC Milan and he knows about AC Milan's case, I mean, I would imagine that, or I would think that in Modric's case, okay, it's no big deal. I mean, I would love to play in Europe. I would love to play in the Champions League again, but it's okay. One season, it's okay. It's not bad. I'd like to help the team. I think Luka Modric knows that he's going to have a role in helping the team qualify again for European competition. So, but as far as Luka Modric goes, I believe right now there's a verbal agreement, and I think they have to do a medical exam and whatnot. They have to sign the contract, but that probably won't happen until the conclusion of the FIFA Club World Cup. Now, again, Luka Modric will, in fact, represent Real Madrid at the FIFA Club World Cup, and once Real Madrid wraps up their campaign in the FIFA Club World Cup, Luka Modric will officially depart. So I wanted to get that out of the way. But Trent Alexander-Arnold is wearing the number 12, so he's got he's got some big holes to fill. I mean, he's got a huge, huge responsibility. So I meant to say, like, you know, big shoes to fill, but, you know, I always look at the meaning of big shoes to fill. You know, basically, it's an idiom to take on a role or task that was previously held by someone who was extremely successful or capable. So, yes, Trent Alexander-Arnold has some big, big shoes to fill. But that's not the big picture for Real Madrid right now. The big picture that a couple days ago, as a matter of fact, yesterday, again, it's 10:07 on June 12th, Fabrizio Romano said yesterday that a player by the name of Franco Mastantuono. I hope I said that. I mean, like, y'all know me. I do not like mispronouncing and butchering names of not just athletes, but mispronouncing and butchering names, period. But according to Fabrizio Romano, the source that we trust the most, Fabrizio Romano, the Italian Superman himself, he announced that Franco Mastantuono has completed medical tests as the new Real Madrid player as part of the plans. So, apparently, Franco Mastantuono has completed the medical test. So, obviously, there's progress. And there's a formal contract until June of 2031 to be officially signed next, as it's been reported. So, basically just, you know, reading the tweet. So, you say that a contract until June of 2031 has apparently been prepared, and it's due to be officially signed. Now, Mastantuono currently plays for Argentine club River Plate. And, of course, River Plate is participating in the FIFA Club World Cup. So, Mastantuono will, in fact, play in the FIFA Club World Cup, but not for Real Madrid. He's going to wrap it up with River Plate, and then he will join Real Madrid. And Franco Mastantuono is 17 years old. 17 years old. Man. Born in, again, he's fine. He plays for River Plate. As a matter of fact, he recently made his debut for the Argentine national team. Born in Argentina, he's actually of Italian descent, and he holds both Argentine and Italian citizenship, which meant that he could actually represent Italy but he chose Argentina instead. So according to research, he's been so impressive with the River Plate youth teams that his skills and everything caught the attention of the Argentine under-20 team of their head coach, so who called him up in mid-2022. So now it was actually in May, back in May last month, that he actually got his first call up to the Argentine national team for a World Cup qualifying matches against Chile and Colombia. He was called up for two matches against Chile and Colombia, and he actually made his international debut by coming in as a substitute in a 1-0 win over Chile. He became his country's youngest official debutant at 17 years old. So he's 17 years old now. His birthday is actually in August, so he'll be 18 years old soon. So I guess he'll make his Real Madrid debut at the age of 18, which is amazing. So you know what? So now at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if they wanted Franco to come in immediately so he can play for Real Madrid in the FIFA Club World Cup. But I understand that obviously that's not the case. But you know what? I'm very, very excited to see what Franco brings to the table. I mean, from what I understand, you know, again, I've seen some footage of him on YouTube. I've read many things about him. Everything I've researched, I mean, you know, he looks incredible. You know, he's a midfielder, even a forward. So, you know what? And right now, obviously, Real Madrid has some things to sort out as far as the midfield position goes. So, yeah. Now, if Luka Modric were to stay at Real Madrid, I mean, learning from Luka Modric would certainly be a huge boost to the career of Franco Mastantuono. But, you know, obviously right now it's doesn't seem to be the case. So, well, you know, it is what it is. So, again, so I guess right now we just have to wait. So the medical tests have been completed. So I think Franco just needs to sign his contract. I'm so grateful to God that we have somebody like Fabrizio Romano, because I've said it many, many times. As a matter of fact, I actually did an episode on this show about Fabrizio Romano. Fabrizio Romano is the ultimate source of news for association football, okay? Because I trust Fabrizio Romano more than I trust Goal.com, ESPN. I always say, if Fabrizio Romano does not confirm it, then it's not official. Now, as far as a transfer rumor goes, like, basically, if Rodrigo, like, the whole Rodrigo linked with Arsenal, I would say to myself, if Fabrizio Romano doesn't say anything about it, then I don't believe it. If Fabrizio Romano were to, I don't know if Fabrizio Romano has said anything about Rodrigo and his potential links to a move to Arsenal. I don't remember seeing it. I mean, I just wanted to bring it up, but again, I think it was Goal.com that mentioned it, or maybe ESPN or both. Fabrizio Romano might have said something, I just don't remember, but the bottom line is, if Fabrizio Romano doesn't confirm it, then I don't believe it. It's not often that if he doesn't say anything about it, that I don't want to bring it up, but sometimes I just need content. But yesterday, Fabrizio Romano basically said that Jack Grealish has been left out of the Manchester City squad for the FIFA Club World Cup. And Grealish is expected to leave Manchester City this summer. Some people believe that Manchester City betrayed Jack Grealish. I don't know what to make of this situation. Part of me believes that it just did not work out. There's really a huge mixed reactions to this, or difference of opinions in this situation. Some believe Manchester City did in fact turn on him. Some believe that it just didn't work out, or many are just saying that Jack Grealish failed Manchester City. So some people believe, okay, and I mentioned betrayed, I should say no. Some people believe Manchester City failed him, some people believe he failed them, and some people just simply believe it just didn't work out. Now, some people have been very curious to know what side I'm on. So I've been asked, Alex, did Manchester City fail Jack Grealish? Or did Jack Grealish fail Manchester City? To be honest, I'm on neither one of those sides. I'm like, you know what? I'm just at the point where I say it did not work out. It just has not worked out. That's where I stand with the whole Jack Grealish situation. It just did not work out. As far as where Jack Grealish goes from here, I mean, I don't know where he can move. I really don't. Now, ESPN also released a story about him being left out of the World Cup. So apparently, ESPN says that there are no plans for the former $135.4 million signing. I mean, that's in American dollars. In British pounds, it was $100 million. So $135.4 million in American currency is $100 million in British pounds. So the fact that, you know, all that money that Manchester City spent on Jack Grealish, I mean, it just didn't work out, and it's unfortunate. As a matter of fact, Manchester City just acquired Ryan Cherki from my hometown club, Olympique Lyonnais, in which I believe Manchester City paid over $40 million. So that's a huge profit for Lyon, considering the situation that they're in as far as financial stuff goes. So, and I thought that Olympique Lyonnais was kind of blocked from making these moves, but, you know, as far as that, you know, that potential relegation, well, nothing really came out of that. So I'm not sure exactly where Olympique Lyonnais stands right now, but he's been signed to a 5-year contract. And again, from what I understand, Olympique Lyonnais got a huge profit out of it. So as far as I'm concerned, well, I'm glad I remember, because, you know, I could have forgotten to talk about Ryan Cherki, but, well, said that, you know, things are going well now. Basically, now, okay, one source says that it was a $34 million signing, so I think maybe the $40 million was an American currency. Yeah, it's been confirmed. Ryan Cherki, of course, 21-year-old attacking midfielder, is basically now plays for Manchester City, and Ryan Cherki recently made his debut for the French national team. As a matter of fact, I think he actually scored a goal and gave an assist in his debut. So, yeah, he debuted about a week ago when France was knocked out of the Nations League, losing 5-4 against Spain, which was freaking embarrassing. I mean, at one point, France is losing 5-1. So, he actually got the start a couple of days later in the third place match against Germany. So, yeah, on Ryan Cherki's debut for the French national team, he scored a goal and provided an assist. So Ryan Cherki truly has a bright future, but Didier Deschamps, the current manager, apparently, according to my friend Laurent, Didier Deschamps didn't really exactly say something positive about Ryan Cherki, because Didier Deschamps is really honest at this point. He needs to go. It was announced that he would resign, that he would leave at the conclusion of the World Cup. So, if and when Zinedine Zidane takes over, you can be sure that Ryan Cherki will, in fact, be part of the plans. I would imagine that Zinedine Zidane, all the youngsters like Mikel Olise, Désiré Doué, Bradley Barcola, Ryan Cherki, they're all going to be part of the plans for the future of the French national team. I sincerely hope Zinedine Zidane officially takes over once Didier Deschamps leaves. My father worries that Deschamps is going to change his mind, especially if France has a respectable run. In that case, well, the French Football Federation and Deschamps would be under serious pressure from the media and also for political reasons as well. So Deschamps has to go, and the French Football Federation needs to hire Zinedine Zidane. If that's the case, then Cherki will certainly be secured and he will be part of the plans. Zidane, I know for a fact that Zinedine Zidane, he knows all about Ryan Cherki. There's no doubt about it. Because, you know, Cherki, much like Zidane, well, Cherki has Algerian ancestry, I believe. So, yeah, I don't know too much about Cherki. His father's Italian, and yeah, so Ryan Cherki, his father's Italian and his mother's Algerian. So there's that bit of connection. So, but I'm back to what I'm going to say. So, yeah, it was actually 2 days ago. Yep, Manchester City announced that they had signed Cherki on a 5-year contract for a reported initial fee of 36.5 million euros. With a potential of $6 million in add-ons and a 15% sell on clause. So the $40 million was correct, but again, so the initial fee is 36.5 million euros with 6 million in add-ons. Now, of course, you compare it to the euro currency, the British pounds currency, and the American currency, it's all different, but whatever the case is, the bottom line is Ryan Cherki has been signed by Manchester City, And I think this is huge for Ryan Shirky, and I'm very, very excited for him. I'm very, very excited for my French compatriot. So congratulations, Ryan, and bonne chance, mon ami. Bonne chance. So now let's go back to Graylish. Now I kind of feel like I kind of snubbed him. I mean, Graylish gets snubbed out of the freaking squad, and now I snub him out of this. No, I'm not going to do that. Now, recently, Manchester City made a series of moves. They actually got another player by the name, you know, they got two Ryans, and they're both spelled the same. So they got a player by the name of Ryan Aitnuri and Tijani Reinders. Yeah, they got the guy Reinders from AC Milan. So Manchester City made a series of signings, so that at least three players so far. But according to ESPN, Graylish has been the subject of interest from several clubs, specifically in the Premier League, including Everton. And apparently, yeah, he's drawn interest from clubs from other countries as well. That, honestly, I don't see where Jack Graylish could be going, you know, moving forward. I really honestly don't know. Now, Jack Graylish is not the only player omitted from this. I mean, according to this, Kyle Walker was also omitted from that. That's very, very unfortunate. Now, Kyle Walker's contract, it runs through until 2026, so. Now, Kyle Walker actually left the club to go to AC Milan on a loan, so he was loaned to AC Milan, so. So I guess right now for Kyle Walker, his future, we don't know what the future has in store for him, so. So look at it from here. Obviously, we look at it right here. The forwards, of course, you know, you have Savinho, Jeremy Doku, Erling Haaland, and Omar Marmoush are the forwards for Manchester City. So Manchester City right now is, you know, and Ryan Cherki is actually on the squad. So I think Ryan Cherki is going to make his debut for Manchester City in the FIFA Club World Cup, which is huge. So another reason for me to pay attention. But as far as I'm concerned, I mean, Jack Grealish, he's been left out again. I don't know, because again, from where I started, I mean, there were three things. Did Manchester City fail him, or did he fail them, or did the whole thing just not work out? I mean, I'm right there in the middle. I really just believe that the whole thing with Jack Grealish just simply did not work out. It's very, very unfortunate. Now, Jack Grealish did win some silverware with Manchester City, but overall, it just didn't work out. I mean, Manchester City won the Premier League three times. Won the FA Cup in 2023, was a two-time runner-up in the FA Cup, was part of the Champions League winning team, won the UEFA Super Cup as well as the FIFA Club World Cup. So he was really part of the peak of success for Manchester City, but overall it just didn't work. Now, as far as, you know, he's been with Manchester City since 2021. Now, I think overall the goals, well, he's scored 17 goals in 157 appearances for Manchester City. So yeah, that track record isn't very, very good. Basically, the most amount of goals he has scored for Manchester City overall in a season was 6 goals. So yeah, that was 6 goals in the first season, 5 in his second, and then 3 in the last two. So that's the math. So, you know, 6 plus 5, that's 11, and then 14, and then 17. Yeah, so okay. So 17 goals. 17 goals, I believe, scored overall for Manchester City. Again, which is very, very unfortunate. Again, so that's why it helps solidify the fact that the whole thing with Jack Grealish and Manchester City, it just didn't work out. So, but I understand why some people believe that he failed them or that Manchester City failed Jack Grealish. But again, the situation is just very, very difficult to speak about. But overall, you know, it is what it is. And that's just pretty much, you know, where to leave it. So now we really get to the final phase. And this is also involving Manchester City. So Jack Grealish could be leaving. I mean, Kevin De Bruyne already left. So Manchester City is basically moving ahead with the plans as far as the future goes. But Kevin De Bruyne has officially left, like, you know, when the season ended, because, you know, it was announced that he was leaving. I mean, it was announced weeks before the final game that he would be leaving. But Kevin De Bruyne had been linked to the move to Napoli for a couple of weeks. Now, I think at one point he was linked to the move to the United States to play for San Diego FC in the American MLS, but that obviously didn't lead anywhere. I mean, he was linked to it, but, you know, and I was convinced that he would very likely go to the United States, but he was also linked with moves into a move to Saudi Arabia, which is no surprise. But I was thinking he was very likely to go to the United States. I mean, I didn't really The thought of him playing in Italy just never crossed my mind, but you know what? You never know what could happen. But again, also on the 11th, yesterday, as I'm recording, it's now 10:30 at night. Kevin De Bruyne, basically Fabrizio Romano announced that Kevin De Bruyne, that there's been a final green light about him to join the current Serie A champions. A two-year deal with an option has been agreed. The medical and the formal steps to follow for Kevin De Bruyne to become a Napoli player. So, I think basically, I'm not sure exactly if he's officially signed. I think basically he's just this close. So, again, according to Fabrizio Romano, this is how the tweet goes. Kevin De Bruyne to Napoli. Here we go. I mean, that's Fabrizio Romano. Here we go. Final green light arrives from Belgian star to join Italian champions. Two-year deal plus option agreed. Medical and formal steps to follow for KDB to become Napoli player. Massive signing for Napoli. Planning for more to come. So it's quite clear that Kevin De Bruyne is truly on his way to Italy. And Kevin De Bruyne really truly gave it his absolute best for Manchester City. I'm sure that I already addressed his departure and I kind of went through all of his accomplishments, but Kevin De Bruyne is 33 years old. Now, he can still go. Now, you have to wonder if he can stay healthy because he's been dealing with so many injuries as of late. But as far as I'm concerned, I think Kevin De Bruyne will certainly be okay. I think he's going to be fine, but I sincerely hope that he can stay healthy. Now, looking for everything right here, well, as far as I'm concerned, well, for him to go from playing in England to playing in Italy certainly says something. But again, I'm not freaking about it too much because, you know, Kevin De Bruyne is going to a club right now that just won the Italian Serie A. So I think him going to Napoli is great, but some would say maybe he would return to play in his homeland of Belgium. But I'm like, well, I thought that's possible, but I didn't think that's the case. But again, I was actually convinced that he would go to the United States. I mean, him playing for San Diego FC, there's no doubt in my mind that Kevin De Bruyne would have definitely been dominant at that. You know, but unfortunately, you know, move to the MLS, you know, didn't happen. But you know, maybe it could happen a couple years from now. So, provided that he continues to play. Now, again, according to Fabrizio Romano, it's a two-year deal with an option. So who knows how things will go? But part of me believes that there's still a chance that Kevin De Bruyne could certainly go to the MLS a couple years from now. But you know, according to ESPN, I mean, Julien Laurent, basically, he's wondering if Napoli made a smart move by acquiring or signing Kevin De Bruyne. Because you know, the headline from that story is, nobody knows what Kevin De Bruyne has left to offer. I mean, again, Kevin De Bruyne gave it, he accomplished everything with Manchester City. He gave Manchester City everything that he had. So people are still truly wondering what he has left to offer. And from that, of course, everybody is concerned about, you know, whether or not he can stay healthy. So, you know, and the interesting part, I mean, you know, in Napoli's case, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne joins Napoli on a free transfer. So it's not like Napoli had to pay a lot of money. I mean, they didn't have to pay any money. So, but sources, according to this story, sources told ESPN that De Bruyne was the subject of interest from clubs in the Premier League, Germany, and the MLS, but actually, most notably, the Chicago Fire. Like, I mean, there was said that he was possibly linked with San Diego FC, but the Chicago Fire apparently was the MLS team that he was closely linked with, but he ultimately opted to go to Napoli. Now, I wonder which other Premier League teams were interested in signing him. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I really don't know any other Premier League team that would have signed him. I mean, I don't know. I really honestly don't. As far as I know, he probably out of respect to Manchester City, he wouldn't have wanted to sign with another Premier League team. I'd have been very, very shocked if Kevin De Bruyne had actually signed with another Premier League team, especially like whether it would be Chelsea or Arsenal. But I doubt Liverpool would have had any interest. But yeah, I think Kevin De Bruyne did himself a favor by not going to another Premier League team. And again, I'm sure in the MLS, I'm sure he probably wouldn't be as much pressure because, you know, the environment and the play style and everything in the MLS is a whole lot different than Europe. But ultimately, he opted to go to Napoli, and I think he certainly made a wise move. But you know, I think right now the move is wise, but as far as the move being great, Well, it's early to tell. We just have to see how things work out. But again, I really honestly don't know what to make of that. But the De Bruyne move, I mean, I'm being optimistic about it. I think it's a good move. It could work out for both. And, you know, we'll just have to wait and see how things go. So, you know, now it's funny. You know, it's interesting. He's going to join, you know, former Manchester United midfielder Scott McTominay. So I think Scott McTominay and Kevin De Bruyne can certainly be a very, very unique dynamic duo, midfield duo in Serie A. So, again, you know, it's funny how he says he chose Napoli instead of heading to the MLS. So I guess Kevin De Bruyne right now doesn't feel the need to relocate to the United States. So basically says, according to Goal.com, the Belgium international has now given the green light to move to Italy and is set to go for a medical with Napoli, according to Fabrizio Romano, of course. De Bruyne will sign a 2-year deal with an option for an extra year following his departure from Manchester City. De Bruyne again attracted interest from several teams in the MLS, but he opted to continue his career in Europe with Napoli. Again, he joins Scott McTominay, and Scott McTominay is coming off a great season with Napoli. And he played a huge role in Napoli's title success, scoring 12 goals in Serie A. So Scott McTominay escapes the clutches of Manchester United and achieves tremendous success with Napoli. And I know, of course, you know, in Kevin De Bruyne's case, during his time at Manchester City, De Bruyne provided the most assists in Europe's top 5 leagues across all competitions. In over 420 appearances, he gave 170 assists. Man. So again, as I said, De Bruyne gave it his absolute all and his best to Manchester City. And no doubt, Manchester City is forever grateful. And now he's going to be under the management of Antonio Conte. So, man. So, now he can enjoy a summer break before, you know, now he officially starts his career with Napoli. And I think that's definitely the best move for him so far, you know, as far as his career goes. But I shouldn't say so far. I think, you know, now that his time at Manchester City came to an end, I think Kevin De Bruyne is headed towards the right place. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you can find Into the Net FC on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So if you would please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. That way, I know for sure that you're not going to miss out on any exciting upcoming content. Thank you very, very much. Y'all have a good one, and God bless.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork, refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer, or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in, all with the style you want and reliability you can count on, so you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances, so much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
It's cozy season, and nothing compares to wrapping yourself in a Minky Couture blanket. Luxuriously soft, perfectly warm, thoughtfully made. From movie nights to chilly mornings, Minky Couture turns everyday moments into pure comfort. Once you feel it, you'll understand why it's called the original best blanket ever. Visit MinkyCouture.com or a store near you and make this cozy season your softest one yet.